Hi, if this is the first time you're listening to the Advisors Assemble podcast, then I think you should listen to a different episode. Episode 194 is a really great introduction to lead generation for financial services. For everyone else, let's crack on. Hello and welcome back to the Advisors Assemble podcast, and we're going to be talking all about protection, and I've got Lee Thompson from Protection Matters. Lee, how's it going? You all right?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you. Are you well?
I'm good. I'm really keen to chat to you because we were chatting the other day about brokers kind of passing their protection business onto you, and I was kind of trying to put myself in their shoes and find a bit more about it, because I imagine there are some that are quite protective about their clients, but others that are actually... maybe if it's quite specialist or if I haven't got the time or whatever, it would be really handy to have someone that I trust to hand everything over. So do you want to tell me a little bit more, like just as an overview of what Protection Matters does if you're working with a broker or if it's like an accountant or any other kind of partnership, if that makes sense?
Yeah, sure. So we basically, the kind of simplest terms is that anyone that wants to refer their clients over to us for life insurance and protection advice. In terms of kind of why they do it, really, is that, as you touched on before, some of the brokers we deal with mainly focus in on the mortgage, and that's kind of 90% of their day, and they do protection but not great deals of it. So they're not in effect a specialist. So when they go to them for their mortgage, you're obviously going to them because they're a specialist in what they do. And then when it comes to protection, it kind of ties quite nicely with them passing them over to myself, because again, I can give them a kind of full service instead of just a bit of a kind of tagged on the end of a mortgage, for instance. So, and I've personally been selling life insurance now and advising on life insurance for over 10 years. So not to blow my own trumpet, but there's not many scenarios I've not seen and not come across. So I'm well versed in what I do. And then it saves the mortgage advisor time so they can concentrate on their main business. And then it also benefits the client, because then they're speaking to someone that does this day in, day out, 100% of their day. They're not just kind of doing it kind of 20% of their time.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. It makes sense. So is it more of those kind of specialist stuff? I imagine it's like people with health conditions or someone that's had a knockback before or something, or is it just a mix?
It's a mix, really. So some of the mortgage advisors I deal with currently, they generally pass me over the cases where they've got a few health concerns or they've got an old policy and they've not got that knowledge to know if it's better for them to stick with what they've got or get changed over. And that's where my kind of specialist advice comes in. And then I've got the other kind of portion of brokers that just pass me through everything, because again, they just want to make sure that their clients getting the best possible advice. And if they're not kind of fully up to speed with protection in terms of today's market, because it changes quite often as the years go on, then they just feel more comfortable that I just deal with all their clients effectively.
Do you know what, when I first, because I've never given advice before and I've never been a broker and I've only ever worked on the marketing side, and I always thought, oh, protection seems quite lucrative. Like, if I was a broker, I'd just do it all myself. But hearing you talking about it, I think I totally get it. Because I think there's some firms that just have specialist protection advisors in there. And I don't want to say I didn't understand it, but I didn't kind of quite wrap my head around it. But it does make sense. It's not as simple as just, oh, here's the mortgage, let's protect it, I imagine, most of the time. There's, like you say, existing policies and all these kind of other things going on.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And also the fear about protection, I think, because it is quite a lucrative sale up front. There's obviously a 4-year clawback period with most providers. So if, say, for instance, a mortgage advisor kind of sells them a kind of standard life insurance and critical illness policy on the mortgage, it's very easy for the client just to go online and try and kind of find something a bit cheaper. But it's when you have that in-depth conversation and set them up a policy that's really personalized to their situation, they generally stick better. And also it's a lot more appropriate for the client and they're a lot happier because they know they've got a policy that's not just off the shelf. It's one that's kind of drilled into their own circumstances.
Yeah. Okay. Who do you think is kind of like the ideal person to kind of work with you then? Is it people that are kind of, because I suppose it's nothing to be ashamed of, is it? Like having that worry about the clawback and worrying about the specialist advice, or worrying that you haven't got the time or the expertise, have you? I suppose it's, I wonder, do you think some people are too proud to refer it? Or
I think it's that leap of faith, to be honest with you. So they obviously want to make sure that their client's going to get and the same service that they would personally provide them. So a lot of the time when I speak to mortgage advisors that are reluctant to pass it over, it's a kind of trust issue. Obviously, they want to make sure that their client's going to have the same level of service that they would have given them, and they want to, don't want to jeopardize their main core business of doing the mortgages. So that's one scenario that we see, is that people are reluctant to pass them over because of trust. But from mortgage advisors that have taken that kind of leap of faith, after a kind of few weeks and few months, they realize that there was nothing to worry about in the first place. But I completely appreciate where they're coming from, because at the end of the day, it's their business, their clients, and their reputation on the line. So yeah, it's just them taking that leap of faith, really. But once they have, I've not had one, touch wood, and I'm sure I won't in the near future, have one kind of not then start passing them over, just because they just see how easy it is, and they still get a good chunk of the commission. The client's really happy, because they've not got a policy that's just off the shelf and kind of tagged onto the mortgage. It's one that is going to suit their circumstances. And then three, in effect, it's stickier business, so they're a lot less likely to claw back, because they've got a policy that kind of suits their needs, instead of just suits the needs of the mortgage, in effect.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So what do you say then to brokers or advisors that are kind of have that, a bit dubious of your, not of you, because I guess they don't know you at that point, do they? They're kind of like, well, Lee, I really look after my clients. If you do a not very good job, it's my name. What do you say?
It's hard, really, because until they start to pass you them over, it's a kind of chicken and egg scenario, to be honest with you. Yeah. So it's one of those, really. I'm not going to ask for everything straight away. So with mortgage advisors that were dubious to start off with, they've passed us over a few tricky cases and just said, like, I wasn't going to do anything with this anyway, nothing to lose, have a go on these, basically. And then as soon as they see that what the outcome is, then they start to pass in more and more, and it kind of snowballs. But yeah, it is tricky, really, because at the end of the day, they, as I said, it's their reputation on the line. But the thing that kind of really frustrates me is I know how good I am and how I treat my clients. Yeah. And it's just, I want them to know that I would treat their clients as good as they would in effect when it comes to them doing their business for them. So yeah, it frustrates me, because I know how good I am and how well I do treat clients, but then I appreciate it from their point of view that they don't know me from Adam, and it takes time to build that relationship, which at the end of the day, it's about me gaining their trust. So I know that slowly but surely they'll start to pass me some leads, and then over time that will then build up and build the trust. So it's, for me, it's about building a relationship with the advisor, and in terms of them trusting me, and then me constantly giving them, well, not constantly, but me giving them feedback about how the call's gone and so on, and keep them kind of in the process of me dealing with the client, so it's not kind of pass it over to Lee and I don't hear from him.
Yeah.
As soon as I get it over, I'll recognize I've got the lead, I'll give them a bit of a time scale, I'll let them know how I work, and again, I'll constantly be checking in with the mortgage advisor just to make sure that they're not feeling that I'm just sat there doing nothing with their inquiry and their clients.
Absolutely. I was going to say, that's one thing of, like, how do you communicate things are going on? Like I said, I think that's one thing that people struggle with when they refer any sort of business anywhere. It's kind of, you don't know what's happening. You're sort of in the dark. And then the last thing you want is the person you've referred to then come back to you and say, what's going on? You said so-and-so can call me. Yeah.
Yeah, it's exactly that. And yeah, it's just that keeping, as soon as you don't get any news from someone, you think, oh, they've not done anything with it. Yeah, so yeah, for my, cool. I mean, I feel quite a responsibility when someone passes me their client, because in the past, I've referred clients to other people for other types of insurances, and there's nothing worse than you passing an inquiry over and you don't get feedback because you don't know how it's going. So you naturally will think, okay, they've not done anything with this, when they may be doing a great job, but they've just got to communicate with the person that has referred it to them. So I'm keen on keeping the mortgage advisor involved in the process, just to make sure, as I said, they've got constant feedback in terms of how it's going.
Absolutely. And I think from their point of view, once they realise that you take as much pride in your work and your relationship with them as they do with their client, okay, that's I'm assuming that's when it clicks, doesn't it? It's kind of, they can feel comfortable, and it sounds like it's a good opportunity then, if someone's got like a case where they thought they weren't going to do anything with it anyway, to then, like you say, something really specialist or something that they can try it with you. I guess then there's no, in terms of the agreement with you, is it like on an ad hoc basis? How does that kind of work?
Yeah, sure. So we'll basically take as many or as little as the mortgage advisor has got to pass over. So some of our mortgage advisors pass over kind of two or three a week, which again, they reap the rewards of that. They're obviously going to get more commission off the back of them because they're referring more. But then I get the odd advisor that you get the kind of ad hoc kind of client pass through, and then ones again, that's no problem with us. At the end of the day, if they're comfortable writing their own majority of their own protection, definitely continue doing that, because they'll get to keep 100% of it. And if they think they're doing a really good job for the client, there'll be no need to use us for those kind of scenarios. Mm-hmm. But if they are uncomfortable, maybe a particular specialist case or someone that's a company director and it's more business protection and they're not writing those kind of policies day in, day out, again, we have mortgage advisors that just refer over those kind of clients, and they feel more comfortable because they're doing the best by the client because they're getting specialist advice. And then also in the past as well, when we've had the odd broker that's passed over said that they would kind of do cases for clients, but they weren't 100% sure if that was the best for the client. And obviously now passing it to me, the onus is off them and on me in terms of the advice. So they can then rest assured that it's not their name liable for some advice that they thought maybe or maybe not the best thing to do. They pass it over to me, it's completely on me. And as I said, I've got over 10 years experience, so I've not had any problems in the past in terms of the recommendations that I've made.
Again, I get it. Like if you're a mortgage advisor, yeah, they're two very different kind of things, aren't they? And they're having that like that pure sort of 10 years experience in this one thing rather than doing a bit of it here and there, I imagine makes all the difference.
Yeah, definitely. And the kind of one thing that I took away from one of the mortgage advisors was the mortgage process is very kind of a happy process. It's kind of nice to speak to the client, tell them they're going to get their dream house, and then to flip that conversation to
what about if you die?
Yeah, what about if you're
ill? I'll get the C word.
Yeah, precisely. So it kind of, some mortgage advisors just don't like to speak about protection, which I could understand why. I mean, I've become immune to it. So,
yeah.
Every day I'm speaking about people dying and becoming ill, I'm surprised I'm not manic depressed. But it's not a great conversation sometimes to have, especially if you're having to speak about people's heights and weights and medical history. Some mortgage advisors shy away from it, I believe, because of that. And that's what I found in terms of some of them, that it's just, I'm so happy now that I don't have to kind of go for a medical form with a client that I've built up a good relationship with and asking about medical history and stuff like that. And it just, some of them actually like it on that. They can write it themselves. They're happy to do the policies. They know about them. But in terms of the kind of conversations, they just don't like to have them. And that's where they pass them over, which again, I found that quite intriguing, because it's not only, they can definitely write it, they've got enough time, they know the products, they just don't want to speak to a client about their in-depth medical history.
I get it.
Appreciate that next time they come to review the mortgage might be a bit of embarrassment there, so they might go elsewhere because they don't want to have to sit in front of someone that knows every single bit of medical history about them.
I imagine we share a lot when we're doing our mortgage and protection. Like banks, I always find it a bit weird. Like, I'm quite private about money and things like that. Yeah. I'm probably more private about money than I am on my weight. But I guess there's a lot of people the other way around, aren't they?
Yeah.
Because I remember I did a medical for one of mine, and I was about 10 kilos lighter pre-COVID than I was post. And then I was annoyed that I'd having to get on the scales and that I knew that it was going to affect my premiums and stuff.
That's it, yeah. And it's not a nice conversation to
have. No, is it? Yeah, and I was like, I promise. I was 10 kilos lighter. But I imagine, for both men and women, and I imagine when you're dealing with opposite sexes as well, it's these weird conversations if you're not doing it day in, day out. So I do get it. So what are we just then doing, kind of life insurance, income protection, critical illness cover, that business protection? Is there anything else that in terms of like products and things or conversations that you're having?
Yeah, no, they're the kind of four main kind of products, really. You see, your life insurance, critical illness, income protection. And then if they're a company director, we kind of breach into the business protection side of things. But yeah, we mainly just stick to your kind of medically underwritten insurance in effect.
Yeah. And when's the best time for me to, if I'm thinking this is a case that I'm going to hand over, is it best to do it once I've sorted the mortgage, do it? I imagine it's easier for you if I send them over and have these conversations earlier. Or when do people normally send them over?
The ideal scenario for me were when they get the mortgage offer in. But some people send it before that. Some of the mortgage advisors send it on application. Mm-hmm. And then it just gives us plenty of time. So the main reason for that really is that, again, if there's any medical problems, we've got plenty of time for the insurance company to medically underwrite and before they exchange and they need the policies in place. Mm-hmm. So that's the ideal. But that's not to say that I have some mortgage advisors that have kind of come to me and say, look, yeah, I've completely forgot about this client, but they exchanged last week, popped up, I forgot to pass them over. So there is, any stage is good with me, but the earlier the better in the process, just in terms of setting the expectations for the clients in terms of sometimes how long it can take to get a policy up in place if they need it for exchange.
Yeah, okay, fantastic. And then, because I'm not a broker, I must be not asking a question that they would normally ask, if that makes sense. Are there any, when you're speaking to brokers about setting up this kind of partnership, do they ask you anything else that I've not asked you, if that makes sense?
Yeah, sure. They two main ones that kind of crop up, really. So one is kind of what is the kind of process from them passing the client to kind of effectively getting paid on the case.
Yeah.
So in terms of that, as I said, the ideal scenario would be to pass it the earlier the better, just to give me plenty of time to kind of have those conversations and give the insurance company time to underwrite the policy. But as I said, for our once I get the inquiry through, I'll always pop an email to the client directly just to introduce myself before I give them a phone call. And then I'll give them the opportunity to give me a time of the day that's best to contact them. It works quite well. I normally have an email straight back saying, yeah, good to hear from you. My mortgage advisor said that you were going to get in contact. Call me on Friday at 2 p.m., for example. Mm-hmm. Or if I don't hear back from them, I'll put on the bottom of the email, if I don't hear back from you, I'll just give you a catch-up call in a few days. So generally, kind of 99% of clients I'll get hold of within a few days of being passed over. And then from then on, whenever I've kind of spoken to the client, I'll just pop a one-liner to the mortgage advisor to let them know what's going on. And then I'll just keep them informed of when I've done the application, what the outcome is. Some of the mortgage advisors like to know what products I've done for them. Mm-hmm. So they are a couple in particular appreciate that as years go on, they may employ their own protection only advisor. So they would want to know that, okay, Lee's set these policies up, but what policies has he set them up? So when they come to, if they were to ever come away from us, they know that when they do their protection, they know exactly what they've got in place, which again, at the end of the day, it's their client. So whatever information that they want to know, we're happy to pass it back to them. And then in terms of commission and remuneration for the advisor, they would get 40% of the commission that's generated. I said they'd be liable for the clawback as well. So if, say, for instance, set a policy up today, 2 years down the line, the client was to cancel and it was in a 4-year clawback period, we would just kind of take off kind of 40% of the amount that's been clawed back effectively. Mm-hmm. But touch wood again, we don't have many clawbacks, just purely, as I said, because of we're really drilling down in terms of policies that they may need. And then kind of finally, really, with the cases there as well, as I said, they'll always be their case. So as I said, at any point they kind of want the case back effectively and all the information, then we'll more than happy kind of send it back to them.
Cool. Fantastic. Well, I didn't know whether to ask you about the commercial arrangements. I didn't know if it was a private conversation between you and the advisors.
Yeah,
but yeah, good to know. Most people don't talk to me about those sort of arrangements. So yeah, I imagine that was probably the first thing they want to know. How much do I get?
Yeah,
and they've waited 20 minutes for me to ask. That's all right. That's all right. We'll put it in the show notes. So yeah.
That's it.
Or we'll call it the title, get 40% of the premium without doing anything. Sending an email.
Exactly.
So I imagine it is just an email then. Is this just like from the advisor to you, they've just popped an email, here's the, and copied the copy the client in, and that's, there's no, don't have to use a fancy system or anything.
No, just, no. Yeah, we just, I mean, some of the mortgage advisors send me over fact finds. So they'll just say, I spoke to this client, happy for you to make contact. Here's a fact find. And they'll just attach it to an email for me. Most of them just do like a one liner saying, the mortgage is this amount. These are the client's names. This is their contact details. So yeah, again, it's just really just a, I mean, I prefer just a bit of an overview, just a one liner, and then just their details really in terms of their names, email addresses and telephone numbers. And then I'll do all the rest really. So as soon as they passed it over to me, that's all I need for them effectively. And then obviously they'll hear from me throughout the process. And then hopefully once the policy has gone on risk, so the policy started and we've been paid the commission, that's when they'll next hear from me just with a statement to say that this has been paid and we'll get it transferred over.
Fantastic. Excellent. Well, it sounds really good. And I imagine there'll be some people listening that are thinking, Lee, I might just give you a shout or give you a shot, give you one of those cases. So what's the best way to like get in touch with you? And should I give you a call, drop you an email? Like, how do you normally?
Yeah, sure. We've got a section on the website where they can click become a introducer. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the kind of tabs. Or the other way to get in contact is either by the main telephone number or via my email address at Protection Matters. So yeah, and then what I'll then do is arrange to come and meet someone a lot of the time it's done via a Teams call. Yeah. So just so they can see me as a person, basically.
Yeah, have
a bit of a chat and then go from there. And then if they're happy to go ahead, the next step is that we just get them to sign an introducer agreement, which just outlines what percentage they'll be getting and so on, and all the kind of terms and conditions in effect. But yeah, in terms of the actual nitty-gritty of it, yeah, as soon as they've signed that, we'll get them put on our system as an introducer, take down their account details for paying them in effect, and then yeah, we just off the go really. They just then pass over their clients as and when they see fit.
Fantastic. And then the website then is protection-matters.co.uk. I'll put your email address in the show notes. Perfect. But there's a general one, info@, but we'll drop Lee's email address in as well. And then the number as well, I'll put in the show notes, but 03454507886. I feel like a radio presenter right now. I feel like I listen to a lot of Talk Sport. They always do little bits. I feel like I'm doing professional radio, but so it's all good. And then do you use like social media? Are you on like LinkedIn or anything like that?
There's a lot of... Yep, we're on LinkedIn, due to go live on Instagram as well. So hopefully that'll be our kind of next port of call. But yeah, we're just growing. We've been around now for just over 6 years. So we're well established, but looking just to kind of grow and grow. One last point I was going to touch upon is just, I'm sure that many mortgage advisors have had this drummed into them in terms of something called a consumer duty. Mm. So again, we're looking to grow as a business because we appreciate that with the FCA now pushing harder for clients to kind of get an all-round service. So we'll be growing as and when we need to, with that in mind as well.
Yeah, fantastic. Lee, I really appreciate you talking us through that process, how it all works. And yeah, I hope some people get in touch and give you a shout.
Yeah, no, perfect. Excellent. Thanks much for your time there, Alex.
No worries. Cheers, Lee.
Perfect. Take care.